The Holy Gospel according to St. John chapter 10. Glory be to you, O Lord. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise be to you, O Christ.
Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. A child is barely born and has just entered the world before that newborn is already reaching out and trying to find a connection. And because a newborn's distant senses, especially sight, are not yet working and developed, that newborn relies on the more immediate senses of touch and smell. And doctors and nurses realize how important this is, and so nowadays they encourage this immediate skin-to-skin contact between baby and mom or baby and dad. And what that newborn infant is illustrating is that for us as humans, there are needs that run deeper than food to sustain our life or clothing and shelter to keep us warm and dry. That to be human, in fact, is to be hardwired for communion, for relationship to another. And certainly, it's important for us to have strong social bonds and relationships with other human beings. And yet, at the heart and core of it, the reality of being human is that we were created to be in communion with our Creator. Forgive me for using a super cliche, but what we're talking about here is what's described as the God-shaped hole in the human heart. That you can deny it or not, you can acknowledge it or not, you can try to run away from it or not, but the reality is that each of us has deep inside a longing that can only be fulfilled by our God. And it seems to me that it's not too hard to put our fingers on a lot of the misdirection that takes place in our world and among us, and that produces all sorts of fretting and anxiety and exhaustion. If only we stop and see that what's going on is that when our deep need is not met by our God, then we are inevitably going to try and run down 1,000 different paths to fill that gaping hole within our souls. For starters, we will undoubtedly try and use others to fulfill us, taking those good social bonds and relationships that God created, but elevating them to try to turn them into the ultimate. It might be then that we rush around and try and rush into a romantic relationship, thinking that there is promise in a lover's eyes of someone who finally gets me and who will always reliably be there for me. Or perhaps we run about trying to make up for the failures and shortcomings of a mother or a father by looking for surrogates, a friend, a companion, a community, something to take that place in our life. Maybe worst of all, nowadays, we blast our entire life out in bits onto social media and hope that by amassing great quantities of likes and comments, we can get enough hits to fill us up on the inside. We will inevitably try and use others to take that place that belongs to God if God is not filling our heart. But it won't be long when we do that before we grow jaded and very cautious about opening up our hearts to anyone else. Because it will not be long before we realize that we remain great mysteries always one to another, and there really isn't anybody who's always perfectly going to get me. And as for being there for me, well, our world talks a lot about affirmation, but I got to tell you, affirmation is a brutal thing. It works so long as someone is holding up the cheer and saying, you go, you do you, but where are you going to find someone who always, unceasingly, is going to keep that cheer going and not give it up? And so, after a while of trying to find our needs met by others, we will come to the conclusion that because nobody else can really get me, then it all must depend on me. After all, I know myself better than anybody else, right? And we will embark on these journeys of self-discovery and self-knowledge and self-actualization, where we try to drill down to the deepest, truest me, and then give expression to that in our lives, reinventing ourselves sometimes more frequently than Taylor Swift has reinvented herself and gone on to sing about it. But once again, this path has problems. After all, we remain mysteries sometimes even to ourselves. And how can I really know that I've gotten it right and that I can even accurately identify the truest and real me? How can I really know and keep up the kind of effort that's required in these journeys of self-discovery? I want to keep the good feelings going. Certainly going on these journeys can be intoxicating for a while, but boy, to keep that up, that is just sheer and utter exhaustion. It will not do for me to convince myself that because nobody else gets me, I must just be true to myself when I'm just not all that sure who that self actually is. But this great deep need within our hearts is perfectly fulfilled and met by our good shepherd Jesus. And today our gospel stands as this rich, warm invitation where Jesus is inviting you into this dynamic and living relationship with him, where Jesus is telling you all about himself, what kind of a man he is, a shepherd who is good and who defines his goodness by the kind of personal care and attention he devotes to every one of his sheep, even to the littlest and the least and the last of the lambs that are in his flock. And it is Jesus, this good shepherd, who so beautifully says that everything we want and long for is to be found in him. When with his golden voice he says, I am the good shepherd, I know my own, and my own know me. Those words, I know my own. Here is Jesus telling you that there is a path in which you, by losing your life in Christ, will actually find it. And by seeing yourself as Jesus sees you, you will finally come to know yourself truly, even as you are known by your good shepherd, Jesus. And when Jesus says he knows you, he means he knows you. I think it bears saying that I cannot even express the full depths of what that word means. I can tell you what it does not mean, or at least what it transcends and goes beyond, that when Jesus tells you that he knows you, it means that he knows you even more than just being able to recite the smallest little details about you. Although Jesus himself has testified that he knows the number of hairs on your head. But when Jesus says he knows you, it doesn't mean that he just has in his mind the facts that are printed on your driver's license or typed into your My Chart. Sure, he can relate your hair and eye color and your blood pressure and cholesterol levels and what size shoe you wear. But Jesus knowing you goes way beyond that. In fact, his knowing you goes beyond simply having a deep understanding of your personal history and what it means that you bear the name that you bear, and understanding both the greatest and happiest moments of your life as well as the deepest and darkest sorrows and the most painful traumas that you have experienced, though Jesus has certainly been there with you through every moment of your life. In fact, what Jesus says is that his knowledge of you is on the same mysterious plane of the knowledge that exists between the Father and the Son within our God himself. Where the Father and the Son for all eternity have existed in this rich relationship, sharing one divine essence and yet being distinct persons. And Jesus says that just as much as the Father knows the Son and the Son knows the Father, so he knows you. I don't really know how to give expression to that other than to say that the things that remain shrouded even to us ourselves, sometimes our truly highest hopes and dreams, or our gravest fears, or those feelings and experiences that we go through that we can't even put words to, these, when Jesus says he knows you, he wraps them all up and says and testifies that he perfectly comprehends them all. His knowledge of you is greater than any knowledge that you could have of yourself. And so if you know yourself as Christ knows you, then you will find in Christ that kind of perfect joy and communion and fulfillment that our God designed us for. Because this knowing by our good shepherd is matched and met and exceeded by his love. By the fact that Jesus does more than simply affirm you as you are right now. He actually laid down his life to make you what you most deeply long to be. And you know everything that is involved in this Jesus good shepherd laying down his life for his sheep. You know that that means taking your sins as his own and washing you in his blood. You know that it means that by his death and resurrection, he has restored this relationship between you and your God, where you are known and loved by the Father, where you have been brought into union with Christ, where his Spirit lives within you, and where you are so deeply known and loved like no one else ever could. Jesus, in laying down his life, has demonstrated that he would quite literally do anything. Indeed, he has done everything for you to bring you into his fold, to claim you as his own, and to make it your highest joy, even right now, to begin to see in some small little ways what this means, to begin even now to know him, your good shepherd. And if I am going on in rhapsodies and raptures of praise about this today, it is only because this comes to this most practical head, that the path out from so much of the anxiety and frustration and exhaustion that is all around us in this world and that creeps into our hearts is never to be found by crawling deeper inside ourselves, but rather it is to be found by crawling outside of yourself and into the arms of your good shepherd. That you have a risen Lord Jesus, and there is marvelous joy and wonder in knowing him whose highest joy is you, who takes delight in your happiness, who shares in your sorrows, who bids you let him shoulder your burdens and carry them himself, and who has promised you that when you die, he will welcome you into his arms and fold you to his heart. This is the Lord Jesus who lives and reigns and is our good shepherd. And at the end of the day, if you don't know anything at all about yourself, it is enough for you to be known by Christ. He knows you. He has claimed you as his own, and he will never let you go. Amen.